Frustration over the lack of progress in the search for a missing Malaysia Airlines jet erupted Wednesday at a daily news conference where Chinese relatives of missing passengers confronted Malaysian officials. The grieving families burst into the room where the media briefing was to be held, yelling and holding a banner demanding Malaysia tell the truth about what happened to the plane that has been missing since March 8th. Two-thirds of the plane's 227 passengers were Chinese. Many of their families have become increasingly angry about what they feel is contradictory and confusing information released by Malaysia. Once the news conference began, Malaysian Defense Minister Hushamuddin Hussein said authorities are trying to do their very best to locate the plane and to narrow the search area, which now covers more than 7 million square kilometers. Malaysia's government says the disappearance of the Malaysia Airlines jet was the result of a deliberate action by a person or persons in command of the plane. Many people believe that deliberate action was an unprecedented type of hijacking or commandeering of a Boeing 777 airliner for unlawful purposes. Investigators have not yet ruled out other motives for the diversion of the plane from its intended Kuala Lumpur to Beijing route before the aircraft vanished. Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippin has been investigating what the aviation industry and governments can do to try to prevent similar disappearances of passenger planes in the future. He spoke with Hans Weber, president of TechOp International, a consulting company focused on aviation safety and security issues. Weber talked about two technological improvements that he believes could address security issues highlighted by Flight MH370.
This plane met all the latest requirements, and it is protected against the outside terrorist job, somebody breaking into the cockpit and commandeering the airplane. And the primary protection against that is the reinforced cockpit door. So if it was commandeered from the outside, then that indicates that the protective measure, which primarily relies on the reinforced cockpit door, was insufficient. But it's also the procedures that an airline uses when pilots have to exit the cockpit to go to the bathroom, or flight attendants enter the cockpit to serve coffee or something to eat. And depending on how sloppy or how good the airline is with its procedures, those could be very significant moments of vulnerability. There have been proposals made for some time that there should be a second cockpit door, so that the intruders could not take advantage of this dangerous or this vulnerable moment. You know, it's easier to overcome a flight attendant as the flight attendant enters the cockpit than it is to break through a door. So that's an improvement that I'm sure is going to be now very seriously debated. It has been debated for, I would say, a couple of years at least, with waxing and waning intensity. And it always failed because the question was, well, how much more money do we want to spend? How much weight do we want to put on the airplane, et cetera? I'm sure this debate will really revive.
If there is a second door, how could a second door be any less vulnerable to being, you know, barged into than the first door?
Well, there are several aspects to this answer. Now, the first aspect is that the second door would be placed in such a way that you close it and then the pilots would have a secure path to the bathroom. Number two, breaching the outer door first causes commotion that increases the time the pilots have to do something. You know, what can they do? Well, you know, they could put the plane into violent maneuvers to get the terrorists off their feet. And above all, they can communicate. They can radio the situation. So that would give them a few seconds, which would be sufficient to communicate that they were being commandeered. That would be crucial so that you know that you have some good information as to where they were, when that happened, and that they were being commandeered.
Have any airlines introduced such doors yet, as far as you know?
No airline has introduced those doors. But as I said, there has been a vigorous discussion on the pros and cons and the costs, et cetera, of that door. Now, inside job, what do you do against an inside job? I mean, the pilot has the fate of the plane in his hands. The captain is in command of the aircraft. And if the captain wants to destroy the aircraft or commandeer it, there is really almost nothing that can prevent him from doing this. There is one thing, however, that was very much debated and proposed in the aftermath of September 11th, and that is to have the airplane taken over remotely and flown remotely. Now, in 2001, the technology to do that, to remotely pilot an airplane and safely land it was in its infancy compared to the status it is in today. You know, technology has greatly advanced, what with many unmanned aerial vehicles. And the idea here is that if the plane senses that there's something wrong, which could be that the flight plan is altered without having gotten permission from flight control. I mean, the normal procedure is pilot gets permission from flight control. Without that, if the flight plan is altered, that would be a sign that the airplane has been commandeered, in which case all controls inside the airplane would be deactivated. The pilots could no longer maintain control of the aircraft, and the airplane would be remotely piloted to an airport. Now, that's technically feasible these days. For some years now, there have been very serious considerations given, especially by cargo airlines, as to what it would take to fly pilotless airplanes and what would be involved. The airplane would have to be configured in such a way that when you throw that switch from pilot control to remote control, then you deactivate all internal controls, all circuit breakers, everything, so that the pilots cannot pull a circuit breaker that would deactivate an important part of this remote control.
I would imagine that there might be some resistance from pilots to the idea of putting a system in place in which their control over the plane is completely taken away under certain circumstances. What do you think about those kinds of concerns?
Well, those concerns are very valid, in my opinion. You see, any system, no matter what it is, can fail. And that's a real pilot concern and a fear that here all of a sudden their system fails, takes control away from them, and they're helpless. And a system might crash the airplane. What can you do about it? You see, there are things you can do. If the pilots are still available, they can still radio. I mean, you wouldn't cut off the radio communication. So they can still call air traffic control, call the dispatcher, issue a mayday signal that, help, our airplane has been taken over by the remote control computer. And there's nothing wrong. This must be a system failure. And so they should be able to restore control back to the pilots. So that's a valid concern. However, there seems to be an answer to it, as just described.
Hans Weber is an aviation safety consultant with TechOp International. He was speaking with Daybreak Asia's Michael Lippin, who joins us again tomorrow to explore more ways to make air travel safer.